everyone, welcome to the Value Inspiration Podcast. My name is Ton Dobber and I'm the founder of Value Inspiration. The purpose of my company is to help business software companies rethink what can be to become remarkable again. The goal that I have with this podcast is to inspire new forms of value creation by sharing compelling ideas and stories about the potential that we can unlock when technology and people blend in the right way. So my strong belief is that we can think big, and therefore we should. And doing so will help to create a better world for all of us. And this podcast is all about that. The guest on my podcast this week is Toby Allen, founder of Jobs in XR.
There's three key things that I'm fundamentally excited by. The first of all is mixed reality. I think the ability to visualize your world in a hands-free kind of capacity, augment it with holograms and information and viewing that information in a new way is absolutely incredible. Now, to get that, I think there's a real sort of drive to understand AI and the power of information that you can have. There's also just blockchain, I guess, is a very nice, interesting way of creating a sort of a trust and an authenticity in the data. Yep. Those three are the sort of the perfect combination. And I think there's going to be a very interesting shift in the industry and in professional business as to how those three key technologies are going to integrate within businesses. That could lead to results that we've never seen before.
This is Toby. He's a HoloLens producer at Microsoft, the founder and CEO of Techcon, and the founder of Jobs in XR, the first and only job portal for all digital realities. I got in touch with Toby via a comment that he posted on one of my earlier podcasts with Dr. Terence Tsay. Being an innovative product expert that brings ideas alive using the augmented, virtual and mixed reality, he actually teased us with the potential of bringing HoloLens and AI together to deliver remarkable impact. As you can imagine, that triggered me. Hence, I invited Toby to my podcast. And during our interview, we explore the benefits of an increasingly hands-free world, how the combination of new technology platforms such as blockchain, AI, and augmented reality have the potential to transform complete industries, and also how we should use the opportunity to think big to create new solutions that are both more fun to use and remarkable in their impact. By listening to this interview, you will learn three things. Firstly, why the current generation of solutions is still distracting us way too much, and how by avoiding this distraction we could literally save lives. Secondly, how blending new technologies can help us in much smarter ways to actually avoid errors, problems and waste. And thirdly, what opportunity we can create if we start using technology to change behavior and impact by augmenting people in contextually relevant ways. So Toby, to get the podcast started, can you give the audience a little bit of background about who you are and, more importantly, why you developed this incredible interest for virtual reality?
Sure. So it's a pleasure to be on. So my name is Toby Allen. Throughout my career, I've been building virtual worlds and being effectively in technology since I could remember. I started off my career effectively as a journalist, reporting on video games on Apple computers when I was about 14. This was back in Belgium. And since then, I basically grew into a video game producer and progressed my way through developing apps, virtual worlds, websites, video games, kind of you name it in software. Later in my years, I did my MBA at Holt International School, where I finished by leaving to join a company being the head of production. So basically, this was a sort of creative agency which had for purpose effectively the creation of apps or use of video games for good purpose. So something like you would learn the use of antibiotics through gaming or through virtual reality. And through that time, basically, I set up a company which is Techcon, which is Toby Allen Consulting. And since then, I've been consulting with clients like Microsoft, Dibs, Farfetch, and a few others, looking at basically mixed reality AI, virtual reality, and sort of all that space. And now I consult, I invest and advise companies as to what to do next in sort of the industry 4.0 kind of space.
Okay. Pretty interesting background. Starting your official career when you were 14 in journalism. Wow. So
yeah.
what struck me is the thing coming back, virtual worlds and so on. So what's this passion for virtuality?
I'll tell you kind of two reasons as to why I think that space is just amazing. It's when I was much younger, I basically saw computers as kind of the natural future, but I didn't want to just do sort of Word and admin and kind of that type of stuff. So basically I kind of just saw, you know, if I'm going to have to do something on a computer for 8 hours a day, which seems to be the norm in as I would be growing up, I might as well make it fun. And in that case, I basically learned about video games, which from my perspective made the most use out of a computer, from networking, rendering, audio, sort of UX, human interface design. Like there's just everything is concentrated into a single package. And that taught me a lot of lessons very early on. And so I think those lessons are now coming back into play as we're using sort of various new techs to kind of augment our life and to sort of have a different approach to life.
Okay. I think you had a good point there. So if you talk about, you look at all these technologies out there, what inspires you most at the moment, what technology can do if you take it to a business perspective? Because I mean, the gaming aspect and the fun aspect is typically like how we like to consume it in our private life. Do you also see use of those technologies if you apply it to business then?
Absolutely. And I think that's the reason why I got a bit bored with games is because it's something that you only consume so much. Whereas with business, you start really participating in an ecosystem that is much more dynamic and much more interesting in terms of how it can move. And so when you see, I draw a lot of parallels to gaming tech, predominantly gaming tech, because a lot of tech that we use today comes from that space. So if you look at what is exciting in business with mixed reality and augmented reality, a lot of that tech came from the gaming space. Now, there's a lot of opportunities in today's world to really look at some techs. And I think from, you know, to be a bit more direct about your question, like there's three key things that I'm fundamentally excited by. First of all is mixed reality. I think the ability to visualize your world in a hands-free kind of capacity, augment it with holograms and information and viewing that information in a new way is absolutely incredible. Now, to get that, I think there's a real sort of drive to understand AI and the power of information that you can have. And I think even basic AI, people that are going to be starting their careers in the next 10 years are going to have to understand a very basic level of AI to be able to say, hey, like I want to put this query together, go ahead and do it and be able to start mining data in a new way. And then there's also just blockchain, I guess, is a very nice, interesting way of creating a sort of a trust and a authenticity in the data. I think that's very important in today's world where security and fake data really becomes transparent. And in many ways, AI is kind of like the master of that. But so, you know, having some sort of ability to trust the system and the network with something that's somewhat tangible, so to speak, in digital form is very interesting as a concept. So I think those three are the sort of the perfect combination. And I think there's going to be a very interesting shift in the industry and in professional business as to how those three key technologies are going to integrate within businesses.
Can you give an example of that? Is it maybe a project that you're working on that is maybe not under NDA, but that already shows what is possible beyond what we have seen before?
Sure. I mean, I'll give you two examples, one of which is more MR focused, so mixed reality focused. And that is very much the typical use case of an engineer in most modern factories that will need to have need to see, you know, either a manual, their current work order, or the next steps in terms of what they need to do at work. And they're able to do that with mixed reality. So wearing a headset like the HoloLens or potentially the Magic Leap once it comes out in industry, and be able to go to find the right piece of equipment or see that there is a area of machinery that has a warning zone that they might have missed should, you know, had they not paid attention. And sort of having the augmented view gives you that extra layer of data, which is kind of really interesting. Now, When you take that a bit further and you add things like AI, which might say, hey, you know, I've automatically assessed the problem, or I've seen that the gauge is low here, you might want to watch out at something. These use cases are starting to become a lot more interesting for the first line worker, effectively, the person who's going to be doing these tasks. And then sort of adding the layer of blockchain, which is very much the validation of that. So in many cases, especially in industry where you have a very high level security or safety, you need to do certain tasks before the next, and there's a very, very strict just process that you have to follow because, you know, of injuries, of for their auditing purposes, for whatever it is, right? And every step that the person can take can be basically logged on through their blockchain, and that becomes a very good stamp in terms of saying, hey, like, this is the black box of what happened. These are the events of what happened. And if you think about the amount of accidents or errors that people make, this then becomes a very nice way of training people, of avoiding problems. And the compound effect of all this is that you start reducing, you just start making less errors, so you start being more efficient, so the company makes more money. But then you also start reducing things like insurance premiums. You start being able to capitalize on that money and be able to divert that throughout the business to do other things. And I think that then becomes a very interesting paradigm, that if the balances of that mix is done right, it can empower companies to do a lot more than they are doing today.
So what do you believe is then possible for companies companies then can do beyond what they do today? What is the problem in the first place? I mean, is this really seen as a critical problem for companies, like black and white, fail or succeed?
Yeah, I mean, I think I think it depends on the company, right? And it depends on the type of industry. In the case where there's certain companies and industries which will be far more adapted to this kind or receptive to this kind of technology because it's perfect for them, right? So if you look at the medical field, being able to project your CAT scans onto your patient or just in front of you and keep your hands with the patient, with your tools, you know, in situ and in moment without any further distractions, and using voice commands, using AI to go through the next procedure or just handle the procedure, that is a critical moment. So anything that can help to avoid distractions, to empower the doctors or the medical staff to be in a better position, you know, literally saves lives, quite frankly. But I think, you know, that is very much, so that's very much the receptive end. You're going to find yourself in the middle where you're going to have companies where, I mean, you know, to give other areas of interest at the sort of very top end in terms of companies that are very receptive, you know, construction companies are very interested in this field because you can start making dynamic changes to constructions. So before you even finish the layout of your shop or of anything that you're building, right? You can see your construction site, you can project what the final piece is going to be like, and you can make changes. Those changes go back to the cloud. they calculate everything in relation to those changes. So the cost of piping, the cost of labor, the cost of the change itself, et cetera, et cetera. And you've already got the client approval because you were in situ with the client looking at these changes together. So, you know, there's a mass sort of reduction in waste, which is time and effort that can be spent elsewhere. And again, that's very much the top end. I think towards the middle tier of companies, you'll find companies where there'll be incremental benefits to specific tasks. So it might be a mechanic learning to repair a very old car or learning to repair a very new car, or a telephone technician having to look at a telephone box. And instead of having to send 2-3 people to help train that person looking at the box, he can just follow the guy digitally. And his performance is then measured, tracked, and it becomes a very interactive way of learning. So those situations happen quite often. And we've seen cases where there's a lot of old physical hardware that needs to be maintained. And it might be that the person is in a remote situation and is having to, let's say, replace some piece of hardware. He can already order it straight then and there, having just done 2 clicks on his device or ask for it through voice command, and could ask also for a new piece to be custom cut, which then gets sent directly to the CNC machine that will just print off or just cut off that piece directly then and there, and it will be reserved for him so that he can go and pick it up later and replace that piece, which is a custom piece that will fit the repair he's doing. And that will be based on the analysis of what he saw in front of him, what he was able to gather from the data that's in front of him, from the spatial maps of the infrared reading of his hardware that he has to repair. And as a result of that, he's able to make custom repairs that is, you know, going to save him a lot of time instead of having to go to somebody else in the back, explain the problem, say, hey, how do I fix it? What's the solution? Order the, you know, measure the part again, order the part, come back. And that sort of loop gets smaller and smaller and becomes more efficient.
Exactly. Is this only about efficiency? Because I see reducing things like cost reductions, avoiding errors. That's really, really good. And it's really helping the person, augmenting a person to do a better job. Do you also see examples whereby there are real big benefits on the value creation side? So top line benefits or competitive edge benefits?
Yeah, I think there's kind of two answers. There's on the creative side, yes, absolutely. So for example, I know companies that are, especially in the film industry, that are using mixed reality to be able to look at an empty studio and to pre-visualize the actions of the actors on a set that hasn't yet been built. And you look at that and you go, that's absolutely insane. Yet it makes total sense to be able to say, I want to pre-visualize this, therefore I'm going to tweak the set to be XYZ. And now then I'm 90% sure of the set design that I'm building instead of being 60% sure of the set design that I'm building. Yeah. Now, those, you know, are again efficiencies, but in many ways that improves the creativity because I have to worry less about that and I can then focus more on working with the actors and having more time to spend with them to be able to get the right kind of, you know, personality traits and moment captured, so to speak. Designers, I mean, I was talking to 2 fashion designers just this afternoon who are using it to look at how just augmented reality and mixed reality can be used for fashion to be able to showcase the latest piece, the latest work, maybe reproject a catwalk. So if you were a very top-end client, you'd be able to experience the catwalk again, either in the comfort of your office, your home, wherever you are really. And that's an experience that is a very unique client experience that can be given to you because effectively the catwalks can now be captured sort of volumetrically, so holographically. And as a result of that, you can, you know, give your clients a brand new experience, which might entice them to spend a bit more or might get them excited about your new collection. And then you know, there's also just simple things like my osteopath being able to have a 3D holographic record of where my joints or my vertebrae on my back are hurting, being able to use that as my patient record to be able to say, hey, like, this is the bit that's causing you a problem. When you bend in this certain way, or when you play tennis or do certain sports, you're putting impact here, and I can and they can show me that. That makes me learn, right? So sure. from those lessons, I then become, you know, better educated. I can reduce my injuries and probably get fitter. So, you know, there's a whole world of education side which can be explored now, just by the pure fact of being able to say, hey, look at the galaxy. You can project the galaxy in your living room, and your kid can explore that, which has never been done before, you know, in a completely interactive way. And that, I think, is fascinating.
It is fascinating. So, I mean, the premise of my podcast is to showcase those unbelievable stories about how technology can help us create more value by augmenting the unique strengths of people. One aspect of it, of course, as well, is I see that there's more and more need in the future for people to be more creative, more social. Is this also going to be a means then to help that we get enough of those people, and that we maybe even help people that might be automated out of a job, help them to get into a new life and to be more comfortable and faster in approaching it?
Yeah, I think it's a very interesting question, because when you look at just where we are in Europe in terms of the amount, the sort of skills gap that you're starting to get between different ages, different industries, different key sectors, you find that in often now in engineering, especially I've seen the case for nuclear engineering or for the boat industry, also the freight industry and that sort of thing, where a lot of the younger generation, because they're being brought up with directly with computers and more of a information worker, they become less interested to spend time doing or understanding concepts that are very manual or very physical in nature. So it might be, you know, understanding how the real piping system works instead of just looking at the schematics of it, so to speak. And there's a big retraining element to this digital transformation through a lot of these sectors. And these sectors are, well, in many industries, they're looking at mixed reality and AI as a way of bridging that gap of bringing information that's relevant to new people, new employees, new business people, to understand the current situation and where they are today, and get them up to speed, and get them up to speed to a point where they can interface with effectively an older generation that hasn't grown up with, you know, the Internet of Things, the Internet itself. That's those kind of like those powerful changes. And I think there's some very clear use cases where, you know, a lot of training in terms of engineering across multiple levels, so apprenticeships, etc., are now trying to use this kind of tech to be able to say, okay, this is a freight train of this model, of this type, and it's built this way, and we build it this way, and we get the steel from this from Japan, and we have to process it in this way, and then we have to put it with other parts, and all of this happens in a certain way. And those lessons are now being digitalized effectively, which means that you could bring in at any point anybody and effectively train them in understanding your business. And that gives you a broader reach in terms of potential hires, potential candidates, but also allows potentially older candidates to understand new technologies, right? Yeah. And so to keep that older generation, which might not be very adept at, I don't know, using an iPad or being on Twitter or whatever, which is, you know, a gross generalization, yet might be able to use a HoloLens because it has voice commands and is combined with their manual skills. Yeah. And so that becomes a very interesting dynamic where they can sort of leverage both the digital with their skills, and conversely, the younger generation, which is more digital, gets to be more hands-on and still be in a digital space.
Cool. So it's really like a one and one is three scenario that you're talking about here.
Exactly. Yeah, I think there's a big shift in this space, and we're starting to see it over the last 3 years. Basically, you can imagine that right now companies are starting to get onto the bandwagon and starting to understand the potential of this. And in the next 3 years, it'll be even more and more broader in terms of use cases. And yeah. I think that's the interesting thing, is that the very obvious use cases and examples in medical, in construction, in engineering, are very much the top of the iceberg. Because this kind of tech can sort of help a lot of people stay ahead or just progress their own careers, there'll be a lot more interest in it once it becomes a bit more mainstream.
But that's kind of raising another question with me. So from all the lessons that you've learned and the tidbits of wisdom that you've gained, what would you advise a leader in a company to do in order to stay relevant going forward? Maybe we'll pick one or two vertical markets here. Is there a new way of thinking required?
I think there's one thing, which is ultimately there has to be an openness to various technologies. And that is very difficult to ignore, basically. True. Because I think there's a lot of I don't want to say stigma, but AI, for example, or blockchain, or augmented or virtual reality, or XR, for lack of a better word, are not going away. These are technologies that are now basically going to anchor themselves into the way we work. Yeah. And ignoring them is at the detriment of basically your company. It's in the same way as not having a security policy for anything to do with IT. And I think in today's world, Harvard Business School actually wrote a very interesting article where they were stating that every company now should have a augmented reality strategy. And the point being for that is that it was just a way of saying you can't ignore this, and that's hard to fathom, because 3D and visualizations and augmented are not easy concepts to understand. They are very challenging even in today's world, and so as we layer on more technologies like AI, blockchain, geolocations, like it becomes this mishmash of technology, and it can be quite confusing for leaders who are focusing on their business, trying to make sure that runs correctly, and yet you have this pool of buzzwords all interacting with each other, and you're not quite sure who does what and why, and what's the impact and what's the benefit. And it's in many ways it's just being on par to educate yourself and just keep educating yourself, because it won't go away, unfortunately.
No, that's right.
I would say that's probably like one of the ways to think about it. The other way, I think, is think about the people, right? You still need people to power your businesses. You can't just get rid of people because of AI, because of efficiencies in the ways that you operate, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that there's an approach to the way we do business, which has to be focusing on empowering people to do more and to give them a sense of satisfaction. But then that also requires internal training, internal development, and being able to push people's careers to fully maximize their potential. And it might be that some people will be very good at data analytics. Great. Then maybe start looking at programming courses or looking at AI and getting them to champion these technologies through your company, so that you can have a very good sort of ecosystem within and culture, really, of people and technology within your company. I think those are the sort of the big points.
I would say so, yeah, exactly. And if you look at it from the other perspective, like an ISV or a business software vendor that wants to get, well, that is looking for the next big thing. Does the same apply? You can't ignore it, no matter what you develop, or is it tied to specific sorts of applications that you create?
No, I think unfortunately, I'm starting to see it. I say unfortunately, it's very fortunate in my case, but I'm starting to see in many ways ISVs just having to update their software to be able to take in potentially new data formats, being able to expose their data to be mined by AI, to be better audited, so looking at the blockchain. And the result of all this back-end data is that you need something to new ways to see it. I've seen it with the mining industry and the oil and gas industry, where in many ways there's a lot of contractors, there's a lot of people that provide various pieces of software to the parent oil company, but the oil company doesn't own the software at the heart of their business. Yet through these technologies that these ISVs or providers are actually providing, they are effectively providing a piece of a very complex puzzle that the company has to figure out. And when you tie those together, you actually can benefit and be a lot safer, a lot more productive, train their staff better, and prolong the careers of many people, because their work will be that much more empowered. And I think there's a big sort of a big shift in that space, where I see some sort of a lot of static older software that ISVs have been sort of enjoying very much as cash cows that now have to get updated. And that's putting a lot of strain on a lot of companies, but for positive change, I guess.
Yeah, so that's actually bringing it back to how you started, the fun factor, you know? You get solutions that people want to work with because it helps them to do the things that they want to do or need to do in a way that's fun and engaging.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that don't like sitting in front of a computer and actually want to be outside doing things or being with the people that they want to be with, or being on set in a theater production, being outside saving rhinos or studying marine life. Like, and I think that's the point, is that all these technologies can provide a better set of tools for these people to perform. And that could lead to results that we've never seen before.
Yeah, I think that's also the way to start looking at it. You know, what can be done in order to unlock people to perform in a better way, to get their hands sort of free to do those things. Yep, and I think absolutely. With all the augmented reality and virtual reality and mixed reality elements in there, you get a long way, which is also scalable, which is very important.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I don't even want to ask or dare to ask, but what is next in this?
That's a very interesting question. I think it's such a difficult question to ask these days, because in many ways you kind of wonder what is next, because apart from flying cars, we pretty much have you know a lot of sci-fi technology right now, and it's relatively insane. I think the next big fundamental shift will either come from a new form of energy, which we might find, or process. I think when holograms will become far more accessible in the sense of we don't have to wear headsets to visualize them, that will be a big, big shift. And I wish I could say that's never going to happen, yet in 20 years we've developed holograms that you can wear on your head. So it's very difficult to say that these days. You know what? I'm open to whatever's going to happen next. I think that's the interesting possibility right now, is that we've seen an evolution in technology and then changes in industry that allow us to be a lot more flexible about life and be able to say, actually, someone will be able to create an incredible solution that could potentially solve this. Yep. Whether they stumble on it or they create it willingly, we'll see. But I think the next 20 years are probably some of the most exciting we'll ever have.
I completely agree with you on that one. So thank you very much for your inspiring input here. I mean, a lot of aspects that I haven't been touching myself yet, and I'm definitely going to look into it far more. Where can people go if they want to find out more about you and or say hello?
Sure. So they can come and just find me on LinkedIn or on Twitter. So I go under the name of Toby Allen, obviously on LinkedIn. I will typically reply to most messages. It'd be great if anybody who wants to get in touch simply puts in a little message as to the context. That always helps. Yeah. Or just ping me an email at toby@tacon.me. So TACON.ME.
Very good. Thank you very much, Toby.
Pleasure.
And to everybody listening today, thank you for tuning into this podcast. I had the honor to speak to Toby Allen, founder of Jobs and XR. The goal of this podcast is to share compelling ideas and showcases to inspire what can be when technology and people blend in the right way. It's my strong belief that too much focus is put on automating people out of a process, in other words, cutting costs, rather than scenarios where the unique strength of people are augmented with technology to change the established rules and to deliver a value that was unimaginable before. So, with this podcast, I want to make a contribution to change this, to create a broader awareness of what can be, to accelerate the adoption by bringing together you, a tribe of like-minded people and organizations, and lastly, to accelerate the initiatives and solutions that could be created because one idea inspires the other. So if you know about stories that are worth sharing, please send me a message. Building the momentum all starts with revealing the ideas, and that starts with you. If you want to have more information, read my blogs, or obtain information on working with me, just visit me on my website, valueinspiration.com. Thank you for tuning in, and you could do me a big favor by rating the podcast or provide me with your feedback. I'll see you shortly in a new episode.